The clatter of the press churns through Ivan Doig's latest novel, Sweet Thunder. The progressive era is fading memory. The Gilded Age is turning to the Roaring Twenties. And Maury Morgan, the quasi-respectable former school teacher we met in 2006's The Whistling Season and 2011's Work Song, is in Butte, Montana. Morgan is chief editorial writer of The Thunder, a pro-union paper challenging the giant Anaconda Copper Mining Company, which is bristling with cash and bravado in post-war America. How about that, bravado?
Yeah, that's pretty good. They certainly were shameless, and I think that comes to the same.
Yeah, they were definitely shameless.
Yeah, yeah.
Ivan Doig has been populating Montana with so many characters in his books that they threaten to crowd out the people living there. Ivan Doig grew up in the land that inspires his work. He's been a ranch hand, a newspaper man, a magazine editor. For the Forest Service, he wrote A History of the Pacific Northwest Forest Experiment Station, 1925-1975. He is the recipient of a number of awards for his 12 novels, 3 nonfiction works.
Right.
Got that number right?
Yeah.
It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah. Boy, you did your homework. Thanks, Steve.
Well, that's my job.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It sounds like a timely tale. Struggling press, fighting the power of big corporations. That sounds like ripped from modern headlines.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's the case. The Copper Press, as it was called back there in those days when Anaconda owned all the daily newspapers in Montana except one. One family owned one in Great Falls they couldn't lay their corporate hands on. So, you know, they had things sewed up journalistically, politically, monetarily in Montana.
Did that one paper that they didn't own, was it an upstart or were they?
No, it was an old line of newspaper. It was the kind of one beacon of fairly responsible journalism in Montana. And it wasn't until the Anaconda Company decided, well, okay, we can't get the newspaper in Great Falls where there's a smelter and a smelterman's union they want to fight, so we'll buy that radio station there. And the FCC, Steve, if you can believe it, did its job in those days and said, well, what else do you own? What is the other amount of your media? And it out came publicly for the first time that there was a holding company back in Delaware that owned all these Montana dailies, and curiously enough, the officers were by and large executives of Anaconda.
Tell me something, as a historical novelist and historian, at the end of a day, are you more or less flabbergasted at the way things occurred in our history and occur today?
Daily and down through the decades, I suppose. History has within it that word story, and I have to keep reminding myself that I had one of my characters, a newspaper editor, say in an earlier book, well, history has the best yarns. And indeed, it, you know, history tends to make up maybe more imaginative things, it seems like, than maybe us poor writing wretches can.
I got the chance to go to Montana this summer. I'd been there once before, but really for the first time to sort of travel around and look at this unbelievable landscape.
Yeah.
And just incredible. And we went to the Big Hole Basin,
mm-hmm.
where the Nez Perce had fought off the army that had was trying to round them up. And it felt storied.
Yeah. Yeah, the hair kind of comes off of the back of your neck.
It does.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that how you feel when you're thinking about this?
Well, yeah, to some extent. I go back to, you know, novelistically, to these places that have great carrying power. And odd that you would mention the Big Hole. The book I'm working on now, I'm halfway along in another novel, indeed is going to involve the Big Hole Basin. And the haying season there, which is still classically old time and so forth, plus the feel of that colossal.
Yeah. Let's not send people there.
Let's not send. Well, I've been Googling pictures of downtown Wisdom.
Oh, I went there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So the five buildings there probably are not going to draw too great a population.
One for sale, by the way.
Is that
right? One was for sale this summer.
Is that right?
So it looked okay.
So we can go have a general store if we want.
Yeah. Well, Or one more coffee shop, antique parlor, and I don't know, notary.
Yeah, sounds good.
But remarkable land, and look at the people living there, and I do see how you keep coming back to them, because there was a Nez Perce leader who was talking at the national park.
Uh-huh.
Because this is all a national park now. This
yes.
amazing national park of the Nez Perce
right.
Walk.
Yes.
And, boy, he had stories to
yeah.
tell.
Oh, the patterns endure, I think, Steve, you know, down through time. That draws me back and back as people there, and I think readers and the rest of us ought to feel some of this too, can feel, again, that carrying power. Of the past. I mean, we got here from somewhere, and it would be wise to pay attention as to where.
Ivan Doig is a PhD in history from the UW, dissertation on the Seattle judge and lawyer John J. McGilvra, and he casts a historian's eye on the early 20th century fight between workers and the industrial powers that are shaping America in his new novel, Sweet Thunder. And I read this as well. As Western landscape and people play an important role in his fiction, this was from a review. He has been hailed as the new dean of Western literature, a worthy successor to Wallace Stegner, which I thought I'd ask you, why should readers read Stegner?
Why should they read Stegner? Because he, in his time, very much was the dean because he brought in his academic side down there at Stanford and before that at Harvard for many years. Like me, he was a PhD, and so Stegner wrote what I think is some of the best nonfiction about the American West, going back and back to the fact that much of the interior West is short on water, you know. And so he hoped and kept writing in the hope that the West ultimately would, as he put it, I think, come to have a culture to match its scenery. So,
what do you think? Are we getting there?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I differ from Stegner, I think, in that I write about the culture that's there, I think.
And it does match its scenery.
Yeah, it does match its scenery and situation, I think. So none of my people can play classical piano or anything of that sort that I can remember. You know, they're forest rangers and ranchers and taxi dancers and so on. And I find them as fascinating as any cultural literati that you could conjure out of Stanford, say.
I'm with you. I was in Idaho, met a group of Forest Service guys from Idaho and Montana
yeah.
walking through a forest, and they were every bit as fascinating as anybody I'd met. Met a woman at a hot spring. She just had a whole bunch of stories
yeah.
as she was running that little hot spring.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, where, you know, where people are kind of thin on the ground, life is kind of thin on the ground, and I don't know, stories kind of, I don't know if they magnify there, Steve, but they certainly stand out.
Yeah, they do. And your characters stand out. Ivan Doig's novel is Sweet Thunder. Do you have a little reading for us from one of your characters?
Well, I do. And this will be some of the stuff I am reading tonight at Town Hall. Here is one of the main characters. It's Samuel Sanderson, if you remember, the librarian from Work Song, the vigilante turned public librarian.
I like the way you just said vigilante librarian when we were talking
yeah,
about
it. Yeah, how about, you don't get too many of those in modern fiction.
I think we're going to call Nancy Pearl a vigilante librarian.
There you go. Samuel Sanderson himself was nearly geographic. The great sloping body ascending from an avalanche of midriff to a snowy summit of beard and cowlick. Glacial blue eyes seemed to see past a person into the shadows of life. Attired as ever in a suit that had gone out of fashion when the last century did, in boots long since polished by sagebrush and horsehide, he appeared to be resisting time in every stitch of his being. Description struggled when it came to his mark on history. Cattle king turned vigilante turned bookman and city librarian, who had bent every effort, not a few regulations, to provide a rough-and-tumble mining town with a world-class reading collection. And always, always, the long shadow of the hangman's tree followed him, carried forward from when he'd owned the biggest ranch in Montana. Having shared an office with him in something like companionable exasperation, feeling may have been mutual, I always connected this outsized man with those lines of the poet, "Greater than his age was he, story and legend, his legacy."
Ivan Doig from Sweet Thunder. at the end of a great paragraph that you've crafted, do you like lean back and go, ah? No, that's like drinking
well,
a good beer.
Well, that's a lot of ahs over what I've been doing this now, 40 years or something, you know. I do get a kick out of coming up with a rhyme like that. And so I've written either snatches of poetry or song lyrics in all my books, all my novels.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the language is fun for you. That's why
yeah,
you write,
it
right?
It is. It really is. Yeah, yeah, right. That's what it's about, as they say.
I mean, it's the little pieces.
Yes, it is. The crystallizing details, the particularities. I mean, these things are called that all the way back to William Blake or something. And so you wouldn't believe how much, I don't know, I guess it is fun, Steve, since you put it that way, to tinker with one word in a sentence. And
I believe that. Yeah. You know what I was struck by also, and I thought of that when you were reading this excerpt. In the little stores in these little towns, there's always a little place where people have their books that are for sale, and
yeah.
the books are moving around, the magazine, and there's newspapers there that are still happening.
Yeah.
I mean, the reading culture is alive and well.
Yeah, it is. There's been quite an effort in Montana on small-town libraries down through time. So, yeah, and that goes back to ranch life that I can remember where, you know, gosh, guys in the bunkhouse, you'd think were totally illiterate, you know. They'd be swapping Western story stuff, these old pulp paperbacks.
Now they're probably swapping yours. Ivan Doig's latest novel is Sweet Thunder. I'm sure they are. Thank you, sir.
You bet, Steve. Thanks again.